The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Of course, we know today we celebrate Pentecost, which is an important day for many different reasons. One, of course, is that it closes the Easter season officially. This is the last Sunday Mass where the Paschal candle is lit, for instance. From here on out, it will only be lit at baptisms and funerals. It's closing that part of the liturgical year and bringing us back into ordinary time. Also, because of the fact that it's the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles. Kind of a big deal at the end of the day. It's also called by many the birthday of the church, because this is the first time the gospel is preached to others than just the Hebrews. All these different languages understand the gospel for the first time. We heard that in the reading today. The apostles preaching to all these different nationalities, and everybody understood. So it's the first time the glory of God's salvation is proclaimed to the world. And from here, they go out on mission after that, start preaching. Also, because today in the Diocese of Lansing, the dispensation ends. The Sunday Mass dispensation has been around for a while now. Of course, those who are still in serious danger of getting sick or are taking care of someone, of course, they've always had the option to stay home. That's always been that way. But the general dispensation, which applies, I think, to the majority of us, has ended yesterday. So we're obliged, of course, again, as we were before, under pain of sin, to attend Mass on Sundays and holidays of obligation, because it is such a serious thing. I mean, it's the greatest form of prayer. The greatest form of worship is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There is nothing that even comes close to the gravity and the grace that are available at Mass. Nothing comes even close. And that's why it's so important. That's why there's an obligation on us to celebrate that and to be part of that. Because without it, you know, where would we be without the Eucharist at the end of the day? But going back to the subject of the Holy Spirit, now, this is an interesting one because very often, I mean, there's a lot of misunderstanding about how the Holy Spirit works. I mean, you have the whole Pentecostal movement, which kind of really begins at the beginning of the 20th century. And the Pentecostals, it's a denomination. They broke off originally from the Anabaptists, who years before that broke off from the Methodist Episcopalians, Anglicans, who broke off from the Catholic Church. And so a lot of odd things kind of came along the way. Then you have the Quakers and the Shakers and all these other ones. But in the Catholic Church, they have what they call the Charismatic Movement, which also, within guidelines, it's good too. But it's properly understanding how the Holy Spirit works on a regular basis. Because very often we think of the fact that, you know, in order to prove that one has the Holy Spirit, you have to, you know, you have to pass out or fall asleep in the Spirit, as they say, or speak in tongues. I mean, those are seldom seen things in all reality, that they actually happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not that common, because it doesn't do much to help us imitate Christ in our daily lives. And the whole goal of the Holy Spirit is to help us to become more Christ-like in our behavior, right? So, again, within guidelines, it's all fine. But those are definitely not the norm, I would say, of how the Holy Spirit works with us. Because can you imagine if that was the norm? That every time the Holy Spirit came upon you, you fell asleep? How many accidents there would be on the highway? Or like if a sign of you having the Holy Spirit was always speaking in tongues, go to McDonald's. Try to order a Big Mac when they can't understand what you say. It wouldn't work, right? So those are very extreme things for very particular circumstances that God bestows those things. But those are not the norm. And that's not the way it works for most of us, even in our daily lives. Okay? The Holy Spirit works in a very particular way with us. And to kind of put it in kind of a picture, I guess, of how to understand that, or how to picture it at least in a simple way. Like for the last year, practically, I've been having this problem with the Camaro, right? It was making a noise. And I can't stand that. But it sounds like an exhaust leak, right? And those drive me up a wall, literally and figuratively. It just takes away my sleep, even. Where is it coming from? Me, being the genius that I am, I'll find it. And I would change the exhaust 3 or 4 times, change the gaskets at least 5 times, and it was still there. It was still there every single time. And I'm just ready to light a match to the whole thing. I'm done with this. You've tested me enough, car. I'm done with you. And that was kind of me operating on my knowledge, my assumptions, what I thought it should be, could be, and normally would be. And it wasn't at this time. And now I was at a total loss here. But the other day, kind of cruising on home, back to the rectory, that is, I just felt something say, you know, put your hand on the speedometer in front of you. Because I know it's coming from the driver's side. Just put your hand on the speedometer. And when I did that, I could feel the ticking inside of there. The gears had gone bad. And the speedometer, the whole time, that one simple thing. But I was prevented from seeing that because I was so wrapped up in what I thought it should be. What I had experienced before. What I expected it to be. What my knowledge and learning, what a little of it I have, told me it should be. But yet, finally, after being able to shut up and calm myself down, the answer was there. I unhooked the speedometer, no noise. No more noises. And I was so happy. So, so very happy. But it took me a year to figure this out, right? And so, you know, the way that the Holy Spirit operates is that He's there all the time around us. Remember, Christ said He's going to send His Spirit upon us. And the thing is that we have to remember, all of us have received the Holy Spirit multiple times at baptism, first and foremost. We're given the first fruits of the Spirit, every single one of us. At confirmation, we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. What does the bishop say? Be sealed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit even. So enough of the Holy Spirit is bestowed upon us then to imitate Christ in a better way. And then through marriage or ordination, again, the Holy Spirit is poured forth upon us to help us fulfill the vocation God has called us to. So we've all received the Holy Spirit. It's not like, you know, you have to fall asleep in the Spirit or speak in tongues to prove that fact. It's an objective fact that by receiving those sacraments, I've been given this opportunity by God and the Holy Spirit, by the Trinity at the end of the day. But the thing is that God operates within the confines of my free will. Just like with the exhaust leak, right? I did all that work for nothing. I did it all for nothing. All the sleepless nights and banging my head against the wall for nothing. And that's kind of how it is with the good Lord sometimes. He's always waiting. The Holy Spirit's always waiting to help us, to show us the way through a problem, to enlighten our understanding, to give us the knowledge and the wisdom and the joy and the fortitude and all the things we need to persevere in the faith and to give the good example and to survive the trials and to imitate Christ. But He has to wait for us to shut up. He has to wait for us to be quiet so that we can listen. That's usually what hampers us, is we just don't listen. Because I know, or I've seen, or I've read, or I experienced, or somebody told me, or I think, or my opinion is, or my desire is, how much listening am I going to do when I've already made up my mind that I know the answer to everything? I won't do much listening then. And the problem just proceeds and proceeds in my life and progresses. So the Holy Spirit works us in a very calm manner most of the time. A very calm, subtle way. Reminding us, guiding us, leading us, but only insofar as I'm willing to listen, to be quiet, and let Him speak to me. And that's how the Holy Spirit usually operates. And that's one of the reasons why we always feel like we don't have the Holy Spirit, is because we just don't listen enough. When you stop and think, over the last week or month or whatever it may be, how many mistakes have we made? How many sins have we committed in reality, being honest with ourselves? How many mistakes have we made? And then you stop and put that against the fact that every single time I was confronted with a choice between doing good or evil, right or wrong, the Holy Spirit was there, waiting for me to listen. And every mistake I made means that I did not listen. And then you stop and put that in the lens of how did this affect me personally, my mistakes, but how did it affect other people? How did this affect the world at large, the things that I did wrong? How did it hurt somebody else or even myself at the end of the day? And then the fact that I could have avoided that had I but listened. How different would the world be if all of us listened to the Holy Spirit just a little more often, you know? How much better would our choices be, our decisions? How much better would our imitation of Christ be? And you stop and think that God goes to such great length to try to get us to heaven. He does everything short of kidnapping us. God does everything but kidnap us to get us to heaven. That's the depths of God's care and love for us. He sends His Son here to die for us. He sends His Holy Spirit to guide us. everything short of dragging us against our will. Because we remember that we were created in his image and likeness, that God thinks we're good and special and worth it. And he's offering and offering and offering. And the idea, the very fact, it should make us shiver a little bit that the Creator is waiting on the creature so very often. That God is so often waiting for me just to listen. And not because he gains anything out of it, but because it helps me find peace, find happiness, find joy, find truth, find justice, all these things the world keeps clamoring for. It always goes back to just listening to God, to realizing that I am not the be-all to end-all. I do not know everything. I am not always right. I am not always perfect. But I can make less mistakes if I just listen. And so reminding ourselves that each one of us, whenever we're going through a difficulty, God is close by. The Holy Spirit is right there. Whenever things are tough, God is close by. Whenever things are good, God is close by. Whenever I'm unsure, God is close by. If I but listen. And that's one of the important things about silence in the prayer life. About silence in our daily lives. To be able to listen. And who gains by that? We do, definitely. But so does every single other person I'm going to come into contact with. So does the world at large. The more good I do, the more grace there is. The more grace there is, the better effect it has on everybody. And God offers it to us if we just listen. And so now let us stand and profess our faith.